Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Appreciate everybody getting on. This is the Blue Ass Family, where we talk about anything and everything. Hope everybody had a nice day, had a great day. And if not, just think about God waking you up this morning and make it a good day. Before we start, before I give the scripture and the topic, I want my daughter Vanessa to pray us in first, if you would, sweetie.
Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for another day. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for everybody that's on the call today, everybody that's participating in the show, whether we're speakers or somebody that's listening, God, I thank you for all of our lives. I thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for being so great and amazing and consistent. Thank you, Lord, for being all that we need in one, everything that we're searching for, everything that our heart desires. You are able to provide that, and I thank you, God, for that. Today I pray and ask you for you to forgive everybody that's listening or speaking for our sins, God. Please remove us out of the way so that we can speak to your people, God. I pray that everything flows this episode. I pray that your power is moved in this episode. I pray that somebody, everybody gains at least one thing from this episode. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. I also want to thank Elder Oliver for this platform on Chaos Blog Talk Radio. Thank his wife, Lady Kay, for supporting him. He's doing a good service for people that want to just get on a platform to speak either about the Lord or just have conversations in life in general. I do thank you, Elder Oliver. And as always, you have an open mic if you ever want to chime in at any time. And again, we thank you for the platform. So I'm going to read this scripture right quick that comes out of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and then we'll give our subject on what we're going to try to stay on. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common with to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen, amen. There's a word from God for every situation you're in, I promise you. So our subject tonight from the Blue Hat family is sticky situations / bad experiences. So, again, the subject is sticky situations / bad experiences. So I know we have, even though that are listening, I know we have a lot of situations we done been in that either tried to hold us to it, we couldn't figure it out, but it was a situation that was sticky. And out of some of the decisions we have made in those situations, We may have had bad experiences or good experiences. So tonight I want to, you know, talk to my wife, my kids, Bluett family, about these particular situations you may have been in. Well, I won't say may have been in. We've all been in. Everybody all over the world has been in these kind of situations. But what the outcome is and how it went, how you endure it or not endure it, we want to talk about tonight. So I'm going to hold off my comments. I want to bring in first, and again, cover your ears if you don't want to hear the truth about normal life that everybody should be going through and not elevated by a person that's elevating it, but normal life, family life. So I want to have my wife, and I'm going to say her title first because I don't want her to get to where you have to hold your ears. Evangelist Bluett, give us a situation of a sticky situation that may have turned into a bad experience or a good experience, or that situation is still going on today. Sweetie?
Well, I can use experience and bad in the same sentence. So I can talk about experiences that I went through, but I'm going to let the kids start off because I have to think about situations because I can't really experience looking at, I mean, I can't use it in the same sentence because the experience of an event that I went through, either I learned from it or I got something from it or it helped me to be a better person or it always turned out good. So I can't use it as bad. Even with the death of my grandson, wasn't a bad situation. I mean, my daughter getting pregnant, having a baby at 13, wasn't a bad situation. It just turned out for my good, so I can't use experience and bad in the same sentence. So I'm going to try to piggyback on somebody else because I can't use it in the same sentence.
I'm not going to let you off the hook. So talk about a sticky situation where you don't have to add bad experiences. That's just a slash. So sticky situation in general, whichever way it turned out. I'm not letting you off the hook tonight.
Well, I won't say it wasn't even a sticky situation. It's just experiences that we go through. Let me see. I don't know.
I know you got a couple of business sticky situations you made and it came out for the better.
Okay, well, I use a business. Okay, the last thing that happened when the coronavirus hit, I work with special needs youth and adults, and I refused to get the shot, and I couldn't come into the building, not knowing that I bought a tent, a 20 by 10 tent, maybe a year prior, not knowing why I bought it, just bought it just in case we needed it, if we had, you know, things out, you know, in the sun or whatever. But I bought it, hadn't used it yet. So when they told me that I couldn't come in once they opened up in May, I pitched the tent in the back of the building. So by me pitching the tent in the back of the building, you know, everybody, my other colleagues were saying, well, why wouldn't they let you come in the building? I'm like, it's their building. I mean, I can't knock them for, you know, their rules. That's their rules. So I didn't knock the rules. I just went to go. One thing about me, I don't try to, if you feel like somebody is doing me wrong or if I feel like somebody's doing me wrong, I don't feel like they're doing it to me. I think they're doing it to God. So I just let people do whatever they do, and I just watch the outcome because I already know that the ending of it. So I just let people do what they do. So I couldn't go in the building. So I pitched the tent, and by me pitching the tent, I guess they saw, this girl is crazy. She ain't going nowhere. So me and my clients, we out there having fun, kickball, listening to music, just enjoying, you know, our life out in the back. And this is in May. So it hadn't got hot yet, hadn't got cold. A storm came through. Didn't get mad. Still couldn't go in the building. The storm came through. If you look back a couple of years ago, it was a bad storm in May. So God just told me to go to the bowling alley. We could just, you know, bowl and, you know, to the storm pass. So I went to the bowling alley. A couple of weeks later, my boss called me, asked me, because we was pitching the tent, we were still, you know, hanging out outside, you know, just chilling. Not going to go into the other situations that happened in between, but it was some situations that happened that anybody else would have been mad. I just kept pitching my tent. I just kept pitching my tent, going outside, whatever, with a smile on my face, me and all my clients. So she called me and asked me, a building came open that I can get. And to make a long story short, in 2009, this building was $3,000 in 2009. End up talking to the guy. He ended up giving it to me for $2,200. About a week later, he asked me, my boss called me and asked me, did I want the building next door to it? Didn't know why I was getting the building. I went on and got that one. I told him the only way I was going to get it, if he give me that building as well. I was looking for, it's an eight-bedroom. I can, you know, have my clients stay, open up a personal care or whatever next door. Everything is in the same facility. So I said, I went on and got the eight-bedroom, got it, got the building, didn't know how I was getting it, went down there, got everything for it, the papers and everything, set up, started getting beds and everything put in. God told me to give it away. Just as it was, don't charge the person, whatever. Now, if I could have got mad in the beginning, why I couldn't come in the building, you know, that's why I can't say bad situations. I mean, because everything always turn out for my good if I just keep my peace. And some of my colleagues got mad, you know, wanted me to get mad at my boss. Why would I get mad at her? Those are her rules. So if you don't want to abide by the rules, leave. I didn't leave. I pitched my tent and I just did what I did. Me being obedient, not getting mad, not getting an attitude, I just stayed, got blessed somebody else with the building, didn't charge her anything. You know, for 6 months, she didn't have to pay no rent. People got mad at me with that. Why you didn't pay, ask her for no rent? Why would I? I didn't have to pay it. Why would I charge her? So, I mean, that's an experience, but I can't say it was a bad experience because I kept my peace, because I held my peace and didn't say, you know, anything, but okay, those are your rules. I kept reiterating to her and my other colleague, I promise you, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. If those are your rules, I'm not getting a shot. And it all boiled down to me not getting a shot. I'm still not going to get the shot. I'm sorry. That's not what I prefer to do. But I stood my ground, and I'm still standing my ground, and God blessed me in that situation. I can't call it bad. I mean, it's a bad thing that happened, but it wasn't a bad experience. That's why I couldn't use the same tool in the same thing. Anyway, that was my experience.
That's all right,
that happened lately.
That's good. So everybody's not like you. You know, you turned a sticky situation that could have been turned in the wrong direction and went awfully bad for your business and for others. But you chose to use the situation to build on, to for outreach. You turn that situation to a positivity. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So our subject tonight about sticky situations and bad expectations or bad experiences is not totally based on, you know, if it went bad, but you made a good choice, and look at you now. You know, so if we can get everybody to think, positive about any situation, that would be a good thing. But a lot of sticky situations that you were in, or the situation that you were in, you know, some people turn into a bad experience. So I want to turn to my kids right now.
Okay, real quick. But it can only turn into a bad situation if you allow it to. any situation is there either to push you or, because a lot of times God used situations to push us into our destiny. So that's why I can't use it as bad, because he put situations in our lives to push us, to get us out of our comfort zone. I was comfortable with being with all my colleagues. I was comfortable, but I'm still there. I'm still with my colleagues, but I got the opportunity to open up a community center. It's a community center. Now that I'm still with my colleagues, I'm still there. I just can't go in the physical building. I'm still a part, but they allow me to do the community part, which I always wanted to do anyway. I love to serve. I love to do things with the individuals. And it's not just for the ones that I serve. I serve the whole community, everybody. So if we just stay focused on our calling and what God called us to do, don't worry about what other people are doing or trying, or you think they're trying to do. Okay.
All right, we ain't going to let you have the whole show tonight, sweetie. Save something for later. All right, so I want to turn to either one of my kids that are on. I think I got Vanessa on, my middle daughter, my oldest son, Tuffy, and my youngest son, Ricky, who we call Papa. Either one of you guys got anything you want to speak on? Vanessa?
Hello.
Okay, go ahead, Papa.
Well, I guess it just popped in my head since, like, she was talking about, like, coronavirus and around that time. So, like, I had a sticky situation that turned out, to me being able to be able to talk to you guys today. But it was a situation where, like, I was incarcerated, and this is, like, at the beginning of the outbreak and stuff like that. And I was in my cell, stuff like that, and officers came to me, the first person in the dorm, and told me that I had to move. So usually when stuff like that happens, either somebody told on you or whatever the case may be, or somebody got you out of the dorm, went to the police. But so I had a bunch of contraband. I had a phone in my room and stuff like that, a bunch of different stuff. So me and some other guys were basically trying to stand them off, like, nah, he's not going, or I'm not going, because I had a lot of stuff going on in that dorm. So after about 30 minutes of us going back and forth with them, they kind of, like, restrained me and took me out of the dorm and put me in a dorm across the way where you can see out the window, you can see the dorm I was in. So I'm in there with a bunch of guys that don't know, stuff like that. So about a week later, RIP to him, rest in peace. It was a guy, my bunk mate in that dorm. It was an older guy. I used to talk to his family, let him call his family and stuff like that. He ended up dying of coronavirus, and that dorm got an outbreak that next week. So first one to pass away from it in that dorm. So
wow.
And so it just felt like after that, like, I was just, could literally watch them in that dorm. Like, you're not allowed to leave the dorm, but you can watch them in that dorm. Like, you don't know, half of them have coronavirus, you don't know, but you just see them at the window, and it's kind of, it used to be sad, because once one person catches in your dorm, they lock the door and nobody can leave. So it's, you know, so a lot of people didn't know stuff like that, but I just was thanking God, and even the officers was looking like, see, there you go, look at God, stuff like that. But, like, that was kind of like a situation that I was in.
So the dorm you was in and removed from, that dorm, the virus went through?
Yeah. Basically, yeah. The
but
first
you
person,
moved,
the, yeah,
you
the
moved
first person
out of
to pass away was the, yeah, I was the first one to get moved out of there. It was about two other guys that same day later on. They got moved out, about two or three guys, but I was the first one, so it looked a certain type of way. So I'm just glad, you know, we didn't reconcile nothing, and I didn't stay, whatever the case may be, but, you know, everything, that's why I said, sticky situation, everything happens for a reason, you know.
Good Lord. I mean, so those of y'all who don't know, my youngest son, Pastor, he was incarcerated in prison for almost 6 years, and I supported him every week so he wouldn't have to ask nobody for nothing. But a lot of the stuff, well, what he's saying right now, I didn't know. I'm sure, you know, his brother know, my older son know, but you know, a lot of stuff they don't tell me. But, man, I see, tell something about God. I'm going to tell you something about God. He spares me through the issues and situations and sticky situations my kids go through. He spares me to bring them out of those situations. I ain't going to even go all the way there, but y'all know what I'm saying. He spares me. So Vanessa, did you have anything?
It's a sticky situation that's coming to my mind. I'm trying to figure out how to explain it, though. I just thank God for it. And it is something that I don't think I've shared. Yeah, I guess it's God sparing us through you. Well, not through you, but for you, I guess, too. But in college, you know, I went to a HBCU. I went to Tennessee State University. And, you know, like a lot of HBCUs are in, like, you know, kind of messed up areas or whatever. So we were at this, me and my friend, my roommate, we were at this function when, like, she was more social than I was. So, like, she had a lot of friends. Like I said, I didn't make any friends really in college. So, anyway, we were at the function and stuff, and it's called Henny Fest. So, like, y'all know the drink Hennessy or whatever. But, you know, I was in college. Sometimes I would, like, you know, sip a little sip. But sometimes, for some reason, that day, I just didn't feel any urge to, like, drink anything. Or did. Y'all was more of, like, the mama of the crew, the mama of the group. And just kind of watching everybody, making sure they get to the trash that they got to throw up, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, and that night, it's like we were all, like, you know, dancing and having fun singing the music, and we were on these bleachers. And we were at the top of the bleachers. And everybody was having a good time and stuff, and somebody, and it was a big crowd of people. We were on top of the bleachers, and on the ground, it was somebody in the crowd that started to shoot, and they started to shoot upwards, like, just shoot. And, you know, everybody started to duck, and like I said, we were on the top of the bleachers. And so in that moment, I've never really been in a situation like that, so I just ducked, and I started to roll off the bleachers. I was just rolling off the bleachers. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't, you know, I'm just rolling down, just staying down, rolling down the bleachers. So then, like, you know, I get to the bottom, I'm running, and one of my roommate's friends, she fell, and she was really, really drunk, had so bad, and, like, you know, everybody else is just running, and they're still shooting. I'm just like, ugh. So I just went back to go get her or whatever. She was drunk, so I'm just pulling her, and she is going through something where she's, like, one of her close friends had died in a situation, so she's kind of, like, just feeling a lot. You know, she's drunk, so she's just feeling a lot of stuff, talking a lot. I'm just like, girl, we could talk when we get to where we need to go. Let's go. But, like, when we get there, and just letting her get it out and talk. I don't know, just more of a, I guess my 50 situation was that situation. I just thank God for seeing it through and then just being able to talk to her and just hear her out and just, after she did, like, get settled in or whatever, and we're just continuing to talk, and I was able to just be there for her and, like, work her through that, like, the situation she was talking about while she was drunk about a friend that had died, and she just never really got through it or got over it. I was just able to be there and help her, like, soberly just get through that situation to where, like, now it can't hold you to where, you know, you feel like it was your fault or this and that. You know, she was feeling a lot of things. It was her fault. She couldn't be there, and all my friends just left me the way I left her, and I'm just like, you know, I was able to, like, just walk her through that and help her by letting her vent and talk to me and just, you know, work her through that situation so she can never feel that pain and that hurt. So I guess the sticky situation, I don't know if it was more so for me or for her. I don't know, but that was just the thing that came to my mind was that shootout and just me being able to be there for another person. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's almost crazy. But
I know.
You never know who our friends are going to be. We never know the people around us who may help us. We never know. We never know. It's always good to keep a good relationship with people that you're around. You never know when that would be the person to pull you through a sticky situation that could have turned bad. But Wow. Yeah, I think we're going to keep doing this show because I'm finding out more stuff about my kids that I
wait,
didn't know at first.
You skipped the whole good part. You was, what
wait
you
a
was
minute.
Doing
wait
that?
A minute. Wait a minute.
Oh, no,
wait
I
want
to go back to the beginning of it.
Wait a minute. You can.
Okay.
But I want to finish okay. saying that my kids, they confide in their mama. And they don't tell me a lot of stuff. They tell me some things, but not a lot of stuff. So I'm that guy that'll try to fix anything you tell me. But, man, that was a great great story, Vanessa. It really was. And I'm glad that you was there for her. Anybody else around y'all? It just speaks to the foundation you came from to think clearly in any situation. That was good. Now, what was you saying, Ricky?
Nothing. Go ahead.
No, Mom, go.
She told me about the situation.
What, Ricky?
Well, she told me about the situation, but I didn't know the drinking part.
What about the drinking? That I wasn't. That what about it?
Nothing.
She said her friend.
I was more of the. I was the mama of the group. I was making sure everybody was okay.
I know, but I didn't know that you didn't tell me about the drunk friend, though.
Okay, well, there's a story.
Okay.
Wow, your mama thought you was drinking.
No, I did not. No, she told me the story.
Oh.
She told me. She told me about that. I didn't know about the drunk friend.
Okay, this is my first time hearing
that
story. I'm intrigued.
Okay. Okay. All right.
But so going forward, Nina, I appreciate, you know, how you said you was the mama of the group?
Yeah, like making sure everybody was taken care of.
That's what they call her, with all her groups.
That's good. That's good. That's a great foundation. That doesn't allow a situation to get sticky, so to speak. Tuffy, you got anything, sir?
Yeah, I got like two of them. Well, one of them, my first sticky situation had to have been when everybody, like this is the end of the year, and it was graduation weekend, and it was a wild weekend that weekend, and my mom was out of town. Basically that Friday night, me and my friends had went out to a party in another school zone's area that wasn't really the best school zones, like rivals. And after the party or so, or as the party was going on, there was like a shooting, and nobody got hit. It was just shooting an open crowd, and everybody left or whatever. So we ended up going to the closest gas station to get gas, and the person I rode with was pumping gas, and about three cop cars came up to the gas station, and he gets immediately in the car and just speeds off. And we're talking to him, like, why you speed off like that? And he was scared or whatever. So we had the cop cars that followed us. They basically came up behind us, and we was in the car, and I was with two other people, and one person was thinking about running, but he, you know, he real big or whatever, so if we all run it, I don't know why it clicked in my head, but it clicked in my head. If he running, I'm running in front of him, because whatever hit, whatever's being shot, it ain't gonna hit me. But, you know, long story short, the cops tell us to get out, so we get out. We get on the ground, and they're telling us that there's been a shootout. There's been a shootout at a party close by, and it was a blue car. And we were in a blue Monte Carlo at the time, but it wasn't us, and it wasn't that car. So they got us on the ground and stuff like that. And as soon as they're about to search our car, they got, it was like three cops, so one of the three cops had basically called in on the radio and was like, you know, we found the car, we found the people. And to speed it up a little bit more, we had firearms ourselves. The shotgun was perfectly legal here in Georgia at 18, but there were some other ones in there that you weren't able to get at 18, so we would have been in trouble. So that was one sticky situation with that. And I was just, you know, praying the whole time I was on the ground because, I mean, I just knew they went in that car and it was going to be a problem. So that's one sticky situation God got me out of. And my other one is I was a little bit older and I was doing a couple things that I weren't supposed to be doing. And I ended up getting picked up off the from my neighborhood at my house for a entering auto. And I was going through that or whatever. And I had took it to trial and going through the whole process, I was just praying to God, like, if, you know, anything, you know, if I could get out of this situation some type of way or if I could pull through all of this and things are on the positive side, then, you know, I would give up putting my freedom on the line. So, you know, I was going through all of that, and I ended up getting found not guilty for that. And I had promised myself since the beginning of that whole situation that if I were to get out of that situation, then I wouldn't do, like, anything in life. It don't matter what it is. If my life is on the line, I'm not going to put it on the line. Like, as far as putting myself in a situation to be in that, or to be a part of that. And, so that's number two.
Awesome testimony. Awesome testimony. The first
part. You haven't been in trouble ever since then.
Yeah,
so that was after you gave the party at my other house, right?
Yeah, that happened after that.
Oh, okay.
Was the same weekend, that happened the same weekend of the party. That happened the day before the party.
Wow.
Like, that was all the same weekend. Yeah, and then you came home on Monday, and then that's when I had to hear the rave.
So y'all love doing stuff when I'm out of town.
To be honest, I didn't even know you were going to go out of town. I didn't know you were going to go out of town. It was going to have to, I was going to have to do it quietly some type of way. Cause that
wasn't
at your house. It was at the other house.
No, I'm talking about the neighbors brought to called the cops. My house.
Oh, the neighbors
town.
Called the cops. Oh no, that was different. That was different.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right.
That was different.
I got me wondering how many situations was it? I mean, because.
I only told two to talk about. There's been a lot of situations. That's why I am. That's why I think the way I think now. But just like I've really been, like, saved more than five, six times. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm either gonna take it seriously this last time, or I'm just gonna not take it seriously and let life slip through my fingers. So.
But guess what? You said something that a lot of people say, but keep doing the same thing over and over. God, if you get me out this time, I won't do it again.
No.
How many times people say that? Lord, if you get me out this time, I ain't going to do it again. Now, have you done it again? How long ago was that?
Yeah, and with my luck, if I tell myself that or say that out loud, the next time I do something, I'm going to get caught and it's going to be double what it was. Before, just based off the simple fact that I said I wasn't going to do it no more. So
that means you didn't do it. You haven't done anything like that again.
No, I haven't did anything crazy. No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you kept your word to God. Your promise to God.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's good. That's good. Awesome. I don't know about that first incident. I know about the second one, though. And I think somebody...
Yeah, nobody know about that. I think Bapasa.
Okay. All right. I'm learning more about my own family. Y'all can hear that now. I'm learning more about my own family now. I don't know if this show going to go on any further. But his second question about entry into a vehicle that was, I think it was at LA Fitness, that they tried to put on him. I think that was the first time I hired a lawyer that we still use to this day if we have any issues. And people we know that need a lawyer, we recommend him. And I think that that assistance was needed earlier this week from that lawyer. So we just call him our family lawyer. He's a good guy, great guy, not very expensive, at least not to me. But that whole trial situation was unbelievable. And when it was finally done, it was such a reprieve. So that was a sticky situation. Could have had a bad experience, but God looked out that it wasn't. So tonight's subject, sticky situations, they either call the bad situation or a good situation. So did you have anything else, Ricky?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you about one of my sticky situations, and it changed my life forever. When I was younger, growing up in South Central L.A., selling dope in the streets, hanging out with gang bangers. I had a lowrider, and certain parts of the city we didn't go in, or if we did, we went through. But there was this restaurant. I was on the Crip side, and this restaurant was on the Blood side, next to one of the high schools I went to called John C. Fremont High School. But anyway, at food places, gangs didn't really mess with each other. You go get your food, you leave. But this particular night, it was me and three of my partners in my car, a lowrider. We went to this taco stand in the Blood territory, and we pulled around the corner and parked, walked up to the little restaurant. You had to order outside. Everything was outside. We ordered at the window our food. And where we parked the car at, across the street from there, was all these Bloods just hanging out in front of these apartments. So like I say, we didn't really mess with each other when we went to go get food or something like that. So we get our food. We walk back to the car. I turned the ignition, and it went. The battery was dead. And the first thing we all did was look to the right at the Blood standing in front of the apartment. Sticky situation. Those guys immediately came walking toward us. One guy came to my side, the driver's side, and put the 357 to my neck, brought me to the back of the car, had me open the trunk, and I had an amp back there, some other things that they took, right? He walked me back to the driver's side, and in those days, we had this thing called an equalizer that you installed in your car for your sounds. They snatched that out. They snatched the end of the dash out, take all my cassette tapes that we had at that time. He walked me back to the back of the car, straightened out the gun on my neck, and pulled the trigger. And it just went click. Can't begin to explain what went through me at that time. Before the click, it was almost assured it was over, period, for us that night. Because that's what happened in South Central L.A. on a day-by-day basis. And when the gun went click, for some reason, unbeknown to me, he told his partners, let's go. And they walked back over to the apartments. I walked back to the restaurant, used their phone to call to come jump my car and get it home, right? I get home. My little sister, who knew a lot of folk, asked me what's wrong. because she knew something. I said, what's wrong, Vic? I said, I'm good. And I told her what happened. The next day, the guy that had the 357 to my neck was dead in the alley of those apartments with his back broke. Don't know how, to this day. I never asked any questions. But it was a sticky situation. It could have been a very bad experience. And I can't thank nobody but God, because he knew a future that I could walk in. I can't thank nobody but God that I didn't die that night. Key situation. That didn't turn out bad for me, at least. But that's where we grew up and how we grew up. And the expectation of the atmosphere was almost certain. And that's a miracle happened. Amen.
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 Well, I thank God for you, sweetie. I was in a similar situation myself. I got robbed. Mama told me don't get in the car with these people. I had to go to the carnival. It was in Linwood. They had a carnival, and we was in South Central at the time. And you had to go down Imperial to get there. And the car that I jumped in, the people that I got in the car with, they smoked PCP. They was known for smoking PCP, which is embalming fluid, cigarette dipped in embalming fluid. So they said, well, before we drop you off, we wanted to make a stop. So not knowing, naive, Ricky, just wanted to get to the carnival, jumped in the car. I was in the middle of a brother and a sister, I believe, or neighbors. Either they lived next door to each other. Got in the car with them. They had another guy in the back. I was in the front with them, in the middle. So we went. We was going down Imperial, and I didn't know it was some apartments. You couldn't see the projects from the street. You had to go down the street to get to the projects from the side that we were going. So I didn't know nothing about the projects.
Nicholson Gardens.
The Nicholson Gardens, yep. The Nicholson Gardens. Yep. When they turned, made that left in the Nicholson Gardens, I said, oh, my God. When we turned in there, they pointed, you know, but he told the guy what he wanted. He pointed down the street to the where to go. When we made that right turn, somebody came out from one side. Somebody came out from there. They told us to get out the car. They pistol whipped everybody in that car. And I'm talking, I'm like, I didn't know what to do. I had jewelry everywhere. That's what we called draped at the time. I had rings on every finger, bracelets, necklaces, diamond earrings. I was just snatching it off, just giving it to them. And I just told them, look, why y'all doing this to me? I know Little Mama and HB. I still remember the names. Little Mama and – oh, you know Little Mama and HB? They snatched my purse. They let me go. They were snatching – going to snatch my clothes off and, I believe, rape me. They pistol whipped everybody in that car. When they let me out that car, when they snatched my clothes, I was a track runner. Y'all probably don't know, won't believe it now, but I took off running. They was going to have to either shoot me in the back of the head or do whatever they was going to do. But when they tried to snatch me out the car and snatch my clothes off, took off running and knocked on this lady door. And she didn't want to get involved. I bust the lady door down. When she peeped out the door, I pushed her out the way and got in her house and told her, do what you want to do. I'm not leaving. I told her to call my mama. I called my mama. My mama said, give her the best way you know how. I told you don't get in the car.
Wow.
With the police, I'm on the phone crying. Mama, please. She said, no, I don't. She told me, I don't go into projects. And I'm not coming down there to get you. And I told her the people that I came with, they pistol with them. I don't know where they at. So I ended up, when the police came, caught one of the guys, and one of the girls, I jumped in the car with them. The police car came back around. No, I didn't jump in the car yet. I had the handle of the car, the police car. I had the handle of the police car running beside the police car while he was driving down the street. And I jumped in. He finally stopped, and he said, "Ma'am, we transporting him to jail. You can't ride in the car because these are the people that robbed you." I told him I didn't care. Drop me off down the corner from my house. So they ended up dropping me off down the street from the house. I ran all the way home to my mom. My mom, I asked my mom, was she going to call the police? She said, no, she's not calling the police. She was not calling the police. She wasn't doing nothing about it. I shouldn't have went over there. And whatever I got, I got. That was just whatever the people got for me, they just counted the loss. You shouldn't have had your little fast tail over there. But she didn't say fast tail. She, you know, if you know my mama, you know what she said. But anyway, make a long story short, the next day, some of my mom didn't play us gangbanging. We got along with the Bloods, Crips, whoever. Do you know the next day they brought my purse back with my ID? Some of my brother's friends found my purse in the dumpster and my ID in my purse and brought my purse back with my ID. They end up catching the guys, asked me, did I want to go to court? I told them no. My mama wouldn't let me go to court and get my stuff back. She said no. That's her loss. Ain't nobody told her to get in the car. Listen to your parents, okay? Just, if your parents tell you don't do something, you better not do it, because that was my experience. I had to learn from it. I mean, hey, it is what it is. So, yeah. That was an experience.
That was sure enough a sticky situation, and you created it.
Yes, I did, being hard-headed.
My mom-in-law, Mama Ruth, she don't play. She don't play to this day. And I remember another sticky situation I was in with your mama. So me and
she
my wife have been dating. Me and my wife had been dating, and I think she had just moved to the Valley from Los Angeles, from central Los Angeles, and we rode out there, and I hadn't met her yet. No, I hadn't met her, but she had something against me because, I wasn't the son-in-law she wanted. So we rode out there.
And she told you that.
And she came out to where the car, where we were in her driveway, and she got right dead in my face because she thought she was bad and all that at the time. She got dead in my face, and she said, "You are not marrying my daughter. You need to go and get away from here." And I looked her dead back in her face. I said, "I'm marrying your daughter. I love her." And she was so pissed. She was so pissed.
She went and got her shotgun.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't think I would ever have a relationship with your mama, ever. But when I joined the Army, we trained and came back and got you, and we started living our life after marriage, your mother really inspired me to keep doing what I was doing. She was one of the first ones to reach out to me and say, "Victor, I love you." And I didn't know what I was doing at the time. It's just what she saw. And she had all the experience in the world as far as relationship and people. And to this day, I will never, ever forget that situation that turned out to not be a bad experience. And to this day, we tell each other, "I love you." So, man, I can go on all night with situations, and my kids and my wife don't even know about half of them. But I won't do that. So, Vanessa, did you have anything else you wanted to say, sweetie?
Hold on, let me pull back up the scripture. I think that was a really good. I like the. I just wanted to bring attention back to the scripture that you read. And I have a different version of it. But I'm going to read it, and I'm going to just – I love the – okay, it says, "You are tempted in the same way all other human beings are. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted any more than you can take. But when you are tempted, God will give you a way out. Then you will be able to deal with it. So, yeah, I just really like this scripture. And it just speaks for every situation we've talked about. And I love the part, simple, God is faithful. Like, he's very faithful. You can always count on God. Even in the prayer I said, I thank you, God, for being consistent. He's consistently God, consistently faithful, and he'll never put us, he'll never tempt us to a point where, he'll never allow us to be tempted more than we can take. And we'll always, you know, there's a way out of where we may find ourselves. And then after that, you'll be able to deal with it. However you, you know, you get your revelation out of the situation or whatever. I just feel like that was a really good scripture for you to choose for this episode.
Amen. And we have to pay attention to the exit signs, but we want to ignore the exit signs because we want to do what we want to do. My exit sign, when I was trying to I had to go to that carnival, my mama told me, that was an exit sign. Don't go. But no.
I do have something to say, though. Great. So I feel like the people that are on the other foot of these situations that sometimes are misfortunate, whatever the case may be, either costing their life or just costing, like, really life-threatening situations, and they were on the not-so-fortunate side of it, I feel like the hereafter, whatever the case may be, you were pulled out of being here and to be in another place, you see what I'm saying, at that time. But my thing is, that's why in any situation, you just live for God. And so if you die by God, when you're taken away, then you see what I'm saying, you'll be in good spirits. Everything will be how you would think it would be, or whatever the case may be. So at all times, you live in positive and live for God, because you don't know when that situation will be. You see what I'm saying? So
exactly.
I like that. As far as sometimes, because we all gotta go. Like, we all have to. You know, there is gonna be one situation that we face in life. That one situation that we're all gonna have to face, to where we're not gonna be fortunate. Everybody has to face it, whether it's sickness, car accident, shot. Like, everybody has to face that one situation. But if you live for God, it's going to still turn out for your good. And, like, yeah, I like that.
But you have to. You don't have to leave here prematurely either. You know, not looking for the exit signs, like I said. And doing
right,
and
right,
matters
right.
Into
he's
your,
right.
Into
we're,
your
right.
own hands.
Right.
You know?
Right. This kind of, but we're just putting light on the fact that there's going to be, like, the situations that we're, like, you may not be fortunate to make it through, you know, and everybody has to face that situation in life. Everybody does. Of course, we're, like, you know, we with this whole episode, we were talking about, you know, the exit sign and, you know, you getting out and us getting through all these situations. But now it's like the other end of, you know, when it's not as fortunate. Well, I won't say as fortunate, because, you know, you still, that's your life. That's what was predestined for you. But in those situations, that's why you're supposed to, the point is to live for God, so that when that situation does come, you're good.
Really, you know, because it could happen protecting your family, you know, and something happens, or any situation, you're dying, whatever the case may be, in the correct manner. So that's why you live in the correct manner, because if you die in the wrong manner, then that's on you.
Right.
Wow. So that's absolutely true, Pa. I'm glad you mentioned that. So, you know, going forward, to anybody's listening, to my kids who are on, my wife who's on, just try at least to do the things that God expects us to do. Because, like you said, you never know when that situation will come about. You can be in a red light and somebody come up to you with a gun to your head, like they used to do in L.A., to take your car, take your jewelry, or whatever. Or you can be in a situation that somebody that you're with started, you know, and as you said earlier, Pastor, where somebody was unfortunate not to be able to get out of that situation where they passed on or they went to prison or whatever. So we have to be thankful and give God his praise and thank him constantly for the situations that we do get in that don't turn into a bad experience. We have to do that. We have to do that. And as my wife was speaking earlier about her mom telling her not to go to a carnival, it ended up being a bad experience for the people that was around her. But she was able, God made a way to, for her to escape. And at that time, she didn't even know God. She didn't go to church. But, so you never know what God has for your life later on in life if you survive. You never know what he pulls you out of so that you can, he can put you in something later on in life and years later. So God has created moments in our lives that will keep going and that will end. He creates a lane for us to be in following him that he has trials and tribulations in, and he also has blessings in to keep us going. And the trials and tribulations is to increase our faith to keep moving, keep walking. So it's sticky situations out there, but it's your mindset that can 90% of the time get you out of them. So don't worry about the situation. Just think about the scripture where God said he will not put on you more than you can bear. And whatever situation you're in or find yourself in, he has already made a way out of it. So you got to look for the exit signs in the situation you're confronted with. God has made a way to escape. So, you know, me and my family, we're not privy. We're not high-minded. We're not part of high society. And we're definitely not low society. But we're not scared to speak and talk about our situation. We're not scared to not talk about the situations that we're in. Now, granted, my kids don't tell me everything. And they tell my wife more of everything. I'm good with that. Long as they're telling one of us. Long as my wife confessing to me, I'm good. So tonight we were talking about situations that could have turned into a bad experience. But I think mostly what I heard tonight was with just my family in speaking turned into good situations or good experiences walking forward. And granted, you know, there are people we've been around, and I've been around them in South Central LA that got in a situation they didn't come out of, as my son spoke about. It was unfortunate that they passed away in those situations, you know. So we never know how much time we got. We never really know the future of the time that God gives us. But in the moment of living, day by day, do what you can to do the right thing as best you can. Never give in. Because the word of God says, I got you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I've already provided a way out. So we're pretty much at the end of our conversation tonight. I want to go around the room. If anybody got any final comments. And I want to start with Pastor first.
Well, that's about it. We just covered basically the other part to it, you know. So that's about it.
Okay. Nani, what you got, sweetie?
God is good always, and there's always a reason for why we go through the things that we do, whether it's to tell somebody else, like as in to share it with other people, of how you made it through, or how you're coping, or how God has delivered you from, or whatever, or it's just for you to just grow as a person, build character. But yeah, this scripture is more so like kind of promising that we're all going to go through things in life. And hold on, let me pull the scripture back up real quick. How the first line says, you are tempted in the same way all other human beings are. So kind of like, you know, just want to encourage people, because sometimes it can, when you're in a situation, it can feel like you're the only one or that you're being drowned, like you're drowning or like you're sinking and like it's just you. But I just want to encourage you that, you know, we all go through things in life, and maybe opening up and sharing and venting and talking, just like how I shared with my story of the girl that was going through losing a friend and seemed like it was on her and stuff, you know. Just opening up and how, you know, I was able to encourage her, uplift her. I'm just saying, like, maybe talking about it could help, and just sometimes you can feel alone when you're really not. So, or even talking to God, writing, whatever. But, yeah, I just want to encourage. If anybody's going through something right now and they feel like they're drowning and it's just them, yeah, like, God will never put more on you than you can bear. So, and there's always a way out. It's about mindset and perspective sometimes, or just, you know, pushing forward. Because there's always that light at the end of the tunnel. So, yeah, as long as you see it.
So. Amen, amen. Now to my beautiful, lovely wife.
What about her? Tuffy and
her? Huh? No, Tuffy had to drop. He had a hard drop.
Okay. Well, I just want to offer Christ to anybody that don't know him. Just repeat after me, Lord Jesus. I believe that you died and you rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Help me look for the exit sign so I can go through my experiences with you so I know that I'll be okay at the end of the day. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, again, those of you listening tonight, we appreciate you. I want to thank Elder Oliver again and his wife, Lady Kay, for the platform of Blog Talk Radio. He is a Elder Oliver is a tremendous guy. He's very open. He's humble. He shares his experiences as me and my family do. And you can see a real person in him, and I appreciate him fully, 100%, for this platform to allow me and my family to even express some of our situations, and also to hear that we have come out of them and we continue to look for positivity in our lives. I appreciate the platform, Ed Oliver. I really, really do. So, again, family is not a first family. It's not a superior family. We just a family. And whatever you get out of that, that's what it is. So we're humble. We've been through things. We love to inspire others of the situations that we've been in. I've had some situations that did turn out bad I hadn't spoke on tonight, but through it all, God has kept me through each and every one of them to this very day. So I'm going to ask my wife to pray us out, and we will wish you a good night.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to say thank you again for the platform that you have given the Royal Blues, Lord God, to spread the good news of you and the experiences that we had, Lord God, through our lives, Lord God. Help us through our experiences, Lord God, and help us to appreciate each and every experience, Lord God, because we know if we just keep you first, Lord God, that we're going to come out victorious, Lord God, and we just want to say thank you that we're going to count everything joy, everything that we go through, because we know it's all going to work out for our good, Lord God, and I just want to say thank you and help us to keep you first, Lord God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good night, family. Good night to all the listeners. Thank you very much.